Last week, the guys are in there working on the sound. Last week, we had a technical issue, and the lesson didn't record. Nothing recorded. So when I went on the website, if any of you have listened to the lesson, I just went back and recorded it separately. And they're trying to fix it so we don't have to do that again today, all right? So, but anyway, we were looking at the lesson last week, and we looked at the wisdom of purity. And we started here in the first section, the very first part of it here, the rewards of purity as seen in the Word of God. We got all the way down through the price for impurity, God's parameters for purity. And then today, we're down at section number 4. And the question is being asked here, why do people succumb to sexual impurity? Why do people fall for this garbage? I don't oftentimes get on Facebook, but I was on Facebook the other day. Somebody sent me a note, and I was reading the note that they sent. And right in the middle of reading all this, these nasty ads come up, okay? That was one of the reasons I just stopped going on there. I got so fed up with the ads and all that pop up on this stuff. It's just nasty. But, you know, the question is asked, why do people fall for this? Why do people succumb to this sexual impurity mess that's going on in our world today? And, you know, they do it for the same reason that they did it in Solomon's day. They do it today for the same reason that man fell into sin. They're tempted by Satan. And they lack devotion to God, and they have a lack of self-discipline unto the Lord. Man, the Bible said, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks bad, just stay away from it. Stay away from it. If it looks bad, it probably is bad. And you don't want to have a part in that. But I want you to see some things today. Many times people succumb to the devil's temptations of this stuff because they lack a devotion to God and His Word. Now, I'm not trying to say that in a critical manner, but people today, I've never seen people so busy in all my life. People are busy. And I think this is a tool of the devil. The devil causes us to be busy about things that don't matter for eternity. We get busy with everything. I know, man, here at the school, they've got sports things going on every night of the week. People have got everything going on, meetings and all kinds of things going on. Every day, everybody's busy. And they get to the point that they are so busy, they don't have time and they don't willingly take time for the Lord. And folks, let me just put this out there to you. If you're going to have a time with God, you're going to have to make that time. You're going to have to set that time aside and say, this is time I'm going to spend with the Lord. You have to make that opportunity. Because the devil is going to do everything he can do to sidetrack you from what we ought to be doing for the Lord. We need to be busy about our Father's business. Because one day when we stand before the Lord, we're going to give account unto Him for what we've done since we've been saved. And it's going to be a sad day when many Christians stand before the Lord and say, well, Lord, I was just so busy with everything else, I didn't have time to tell anybody about Christ. I didn't have time to read Your Word. I didn't have time to pray, or to pray for my family, to pray for myself, to pray for others that need to know Christ. I just didn't have time. And boy, you know what? That's a sad excuse, isn't it? It's a sad excuse. I've noticed that if I don't take time, my wife has this little business, the 381 Creations business, and we have to schedule a time to clean her machinery, okay? It's got exhaust fans on it. It's got an exhaust that pumps the fumes and all the smoke and everything out. But that smoke does damage, okay? It coats the mirrors. It coats the laser eyes. It coats the fans and all this other stuff. And if you don't take time to clean the machinery, the product that you're making is going to come out and it's not right. It doesn't look good. It doesn't complete the job. And you know, I was cleaning that stuff yesterday and I was thinking about that. Man, I went there and cleaned it. My hands are all nasty and dirty and yellow with the stuff that was on there. I cleaned out the fans for her and all this other stuff. And man, after we did that, that thing ran like a top. Ran like a top. And you know what? We've got to do the same thing with our hearts and our lives. When we were in the Boy Scouts, we used lanterns, okay? We had little kerosene lanterns that we would have out. And if you didn't keep the globe clean from the inside, if you pull that wick up and start the flame, okay, light that wick, a lot of times it would smoke up. And you have to turn it back down just a little bit so it didn't smoke so much inside that globe. And if you left it out for a while, and the wind was blowing and things like that, the globe got dirty on the inside. It wasn't dirty on the outside. I'd clean it on the outside, but it wasn't shining the light because it was dirty on the inside. So we had to clean the globe on the inside. And what God is wanting us to see here, we need His Word. We need that time with Him to keep our heart on the inside clean from the impurities of this old life and the temptations of this world. And it takes time to do that. It takes devotion to do that. And a lack of devotion to God not only yields opportunity for these impurities to happen in our lives, sexual immorality and all this stuff, but it's a source for all sin if we don't keep our hearts clean with the Lord. I want you to look at something today in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. And I want you to see this matter of devotion. In Romans chapter 1, beginning here in verse number 18. And I'm going to read all the way down through verse 32, through the end of that chapter. But I got a purpose in reading this to you, okay? I want you to see this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest. It's made known, okay, is what he's saying, in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Let me read that one more time. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. I say that because the knowledge of God is there. They know God. They know who He is. But they didn't like God being in their hearts and in their minds because God reminded them of their sin. Look at this. Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? A reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? One that can't tell the difference from a right hand from the left hand. They can't make a decision about what is right and what is wrong. It's whatever pleases the flesh. It's reprobate. They don't understand truth. They've rejected truth. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Folks, let me remind you again. These folks that were turned over to that reprobate mind, they made a choice. They made their choice. I saw yesterday while I was on, or I think it was this morning, when I looked on Facebook this morning, there was a man that has hair like a woman, he's fixed up like a woman, and he's all upset with our new president because our new president said that the government will only recognize two genders, okay? Male and female. And he got a new passport, okay? And though he says he is a transgendered, he says he's now a woman, his passport says he's a male, and they won't let him use it, and he's upset about it. And he's all mad at our new president and anybody else that agrees that there are only two genders. And I'm thinking to myself, well, name one that brought you into this world. Okay? Listen, they know the truth, but they don't want to retain the knowledge of God in their hearts and in their minds. They have chosen to reject truth. And folks, you can only reject truth for so long before your mind gets so messed up, as we have seen in the past month or so, of the people, the way that people think about things. You know, it's all right if people steal money from you and use it for other things for their own pleasure, but if you call them out on it, then they get upset. You're the bad guy, okay? We're seeing this very thing in the hearts and the minds of our nation, of the people in our world today. And folks, it's not politics that's going to change it. It's the Word of God that's going to change it. They need the Lord Jesus. They need their hearts to be cleansed from their sin. And they need to make time for God. And folks, this is why it is so easy to be, if you turn away truth, and you reject truth, pretty soon you're going to be accepting a lie for everything in your life. And that's not what we want. That's not what God wants. And while God has indeed revealed Himself in all creation, you cannot go outside. I looked this morning when I took Precious out and walked her this morning. I looked at just nature itself. This is no accident, folks. It's no accident. This is no accident. God is the creator. And God created all these things. And lost man still refuses to recognize God or retain God in his thoughts and in his mind. And instead, he recognizes and worships the only creation he really adores, self. Self. And he exalts self above anything else that God says do. And folks, this is why we need to get in the book and let the book get in us. We need to stay in the Word of God. We can see here in these verses, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, that out of the inappropriate devotion to creation flows all types of sin. All types of sin come when you fail to recognize God as the creator of all things. God as the one who is in charge of all things. And when we put self and all these other things, everything else just begins to fall away. So I want you to see that today. But they also lack a self-discipline regarding God's instruction. Now I want you to turn back to the book of Proverbs chapter number 5. Proverbs chapter number 5. And I want you to see this morning. I'm trying to help us, because the devil is going to be tempting. Everything you see around you today, signs, posters, TV ads, commercials, all these things are impurities of sin that the devil is trying to tempt us with. And Solomon said here in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 7 through 14, he's talking to his son. He said, "Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly." What a sad end to an undisciplined life. When we don't just determine to have some self-discipline about some things, we've got to have it. In these verses, we see how the adulterer wishes at the end that he had heeded instruction and used self-discipline in his life. But now, it's too late. He's bearing the consequences in his body. And in these verses, we see the sad consequences of one who rejects God's instructions and the results of living a life so selfishly and so undisciplined for the Lord. We have folks all the time calling and asking for help about this and help for that. And we're willing to help them. But if a person is not willing to receive instruction, it will not help them. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. They lack self-discipline to regard God's instruction. And folks, that's the problem. And just in the previous chapter, we saw how that Solomon tried to give warning and wise instruction. He said this in chapter 4. Go back to chapter 4 just a moment and look at verses 1 and 2. He said, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law." But sad to say, when you get to chapter 5, they had refused to hear, and now it was too late. Folks, we need to understand today that people succumb to impurity and sin, sexual impurity especially. Now in our world today, it's happening more and more. Because number one, they lack a devotion to God and to His Word. Number two, they lack a self-discipline regarding God's instructions. So the question is, so how do we cultivate purity in a world that's not concerned with purity? How does one keep themselves pure in a world that's filthy and nasty and full of sin all the time? It's around us everywhere we go. How do you keep yourself pure? Number one, you need to cultivate a pure mind. You need to cultivate a pure mind. Before we can plant seeds in a garden, we have to cultivate the land. Dig it up. Pull out anything that's going to cause weeds to be in there when those seeds are planted. Throw it out. Get rid of it. And make it so that the land is able to receive the seed and the nourishment you're going to put on it to grow forth a good crop. And you know what? It's the same way with us, with our hearts and our lives. We've got to cultivate a pure mind. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, just a moment. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Paul said this. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Folks, we need the mind of Christ. How are we going to cultivate the mind of Christ in our lives? Get in the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's what David said in the book of Psalm. He said you need to cultivate your mind. Go back to the book of Proverbs chapter 5. I'll make sure you're awake this morning, okay? I got you turning in your Bibles, all right? Don't want you to sleep on me this morning. If I can't sleep, you can't sleep, all right? The Scriptures teach us here that a pure heart and mind is always a precursor to a pure lifestyle. If our heart and our mind is right, then the way that we live is going to be right. Now look what he said in Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to understanding." When you bow yourself, you're humbling yourself. "Bow down your ear to my understanding," he said, "that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." A commitment, and that's a word that many folks don't understand today, but a commitment to moral purity requires a person to do two things. Number one, you got to be willing to heed positive instruction from God. You got to take heed to the Word of God. Look what he said. "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." You got to be willing to take heed to instruction from God. But number two, you got to be willing to avoid entertaining impure thoughts. You know, we get exposed to all kinds of stuff. But that doesn't mean that we got to go back to it over and over and over and over again, does it? We don't need to entertain those thoughts. In Psalm chapter 101, verse 3, I want you to look at this, and maybe you need to mark this. This is why we've had to stop watching a lot of things on TV. We've just had to stop. And I'm not here to fuss at you about having TV. You know, it can be a good thing, but don't allow the devil to use it to get your mind sidetracked. And here's a verse that maybe you might want to just print out and put right there in front of your TV, okay? Psalm chapter 101, verse 3. This is a choice that David said he's made. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." You know what David is saying? He's saying, number one, I'm making a choice. I'm choosing not to allow these things to come before my eyes. That's why, I'll be honest with you, I just don't go on the social media a whole lot. There are times we look at it to get information and put stuff out there. My wife put stuff out there for a little business. I look at it to catch up on things that are happening with other people. Pastor Juanito Lim, He's a missionary down in Cebu, Philippines. He and his family, his church, have all had this virus A, this flu A thing. But they were feeling better, and he sent me a note, and he sent me some pictures showing they were out in the area there winning folks to Christ. And man, I like looking at stuff like that. But there may be a time that you just have to say, you know what? I can't allow this stuff to come before my eyes. I've got to get rid of it. I've got to turn it away. It's not going to cleave to me. It's not going to draw me into its power and its realm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 said this, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it looks bad, don't do it. I got an email this morning from a supposed Christian pastor's resource wanting us to join in with it. Okay? And I thought, I've never seen anything like this before. This doesn't look right to me. And I looked at their, they didn't say about us, they listed our manifesto. And when I read that, I thought, manifesto, that's not usually a good thing when people are bragging about having a manifesto. And it was for anything that was against God's word. And yet it said they were setting a new way of Christian living in the world where everything is accepted and everybody is accepted because we're all brothers. Now, we may be fleshly brothers, but you're not my brother in the Lord unless we have the same Father. Okay? My Father is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He has said to abstain from all those things and stay away from that. I put my note up there. I unsubscribed from that. I blocked it. I marked it as spam. I did everything I could do so I don't get it coming back to our church email address here. I don't even know how they got my name in it. A lot of these places just go through and just send out stuff. But folks, we have to choose to stay away from. We have to cultivate a pure mind. But then number two, we need to cultivate a pure body. A pure body. Now I'm going to say this, and again, I'm not trying to make anybody mad. Please don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, you just pray for me, okay? Because I'm trying to give you truth today, okay? I'm not going to go out here and show off my great physique for all the world to see. Because quite honestly, it's not for anybody else to see except me or my wife or the Lord. And ladies, it's the same way with you, okay? My grandmother used to always tell my little sister, honey, if you ain't for sale, don't advertise. That's what she said. And you know what? Because it cultivates bad thoughts in people's minds. You know? Men are men. Men are men. Their eyes, they look, they see, and the lust of the flesh takes over. Ladies, it works the same way with you, okay, with men. In our world today, everybody wants to just show off everything and make it seem like, boy, aren't I something today? But what we need to do is cultivate a pure mind, the mind of Christ, and then cultivate a pure body where we turn away from those things. All right? And look what the Bible said. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Many folks think that it's only the mind that needs cleansing from sin. But folks, they totally neglect the fact that the body needs purity as well, okay? And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 3 and 4, he says this, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." Sanctification, what? That is the growth process of the child of God. We're being sanctified daily. We are growing. We are maturing in the Lord. We're becoming closer to Christ in our actions, our deeds. And this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Okay? Abstain from it. Turn away from it. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. If you ain't for sale, don't advertise. Okay? Whether you're a man or you're a woman, we don't do it. We got to cultivate a pure body. Turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And here we find out why we need to do this. Here we need to find out why we need to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 15 through 20. Paul writes these words. He says, he asked the question. He said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? In other words, you bear a testimony. Your body is a testimony for the Lord. Your body. Not to yourself, not to the wicked lust of the flesh. You're not trying to tease people and things like that. But you're to bring honor and glory unto God. Your body is a member of Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And look what he says. Flee fornication. You know what that word flee means? It's not a little animal that makes a dog scratch. Okay, that's not it. That word flee means run away from it. Get away from it as quick as you can. Submit yourselves unto the Lord. Okay? Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We have a mandate to glorify God in this temple that God has given unto us. It's not to glorify self. It's not to cause others to desire wicked things, but it's to glorify God. And because as born-again Christians, their bodies were now the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwelt within them, Paul reminds them of this and says, listen, glorify God in your body. You got to cultivate a pure mind, and we need to cultivate a pure body. Now, how do we conclude this lesson? I want to conclude it saying this. Pornography, sexual promiscuity, moral impurity, and all those things are not things that a person can simply entertain themselves with without eventually getting burned by them. The devil's gonna snatch you. He's gonna get you in a situation where he controls you instead of you controlling that. So what do you do? Look at Proverbs chapter 6, verses 23 through 28. Proverbs chapter 6 gives us the answer. What do you do about it? It's all around us. What do we do about it? He said in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 through 28, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. You know, they bat those little eyes. And I've never seen so many women today. It looks like, man, they got a broomstick on the end of their eyeball. I bet if you stood in front of them and they flapped their eyes, you'd get a breeze. I guess it takes care of the electricity bill with air conditioning. I don't know. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. What does the Bible say? The devil is our adversary. He goes about as a what? Roaring lion. What's he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. The devil is after you, child of God. Be wise today. Stay away from it. Flee these things. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Folks, God's word is here to help us. But we've got to make some choices about how we're going to live. The wisdom of purity is something that we need to choose to take heed to. And I trust that you'll take heed to the word of God today. Father, Lord, I have tried over these two Sundays to give your people help from the word of God. Lord, I know that each of us today are seeing the things that are so prevalent in our world around us. Man, the devil is doing everything that he can do to cause Christians to fall. And the reason he wants Christians to fall is because people are being saved. When folks go out with the gospel and they present it, people get saved. And he doesn't want us as Christians being able to do that. He wants to sidetrack us. Lord, the devil wants to get our thoughts and our minds thinking on the lustful things of this old world and thinking about things that we ought not think about. But God, I pray, Lord, today that you will help us to take heed to the word of God. And Lord, to abstain from all appearance of evil so that we might be vessels that are usable by you. Help us, dear God, today to love you enough to stay away from fornication, adultery, and all the like things that comes with these lustful desires of the flesh. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help our hearts to be settled on you and in your word. Help us, God, to get in the word and the word to get into us. And Father, we'll thank you, God, for what you do. Be with our pastor, Lord, this morning. I know he's been sick this week. But I pray, dear God, that you'll give him strength to preach the message that we need to hear today. And help us, Lord, to be receptive to that message. And we'll take heed to the preaching of the word of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in class.